Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning to be under your word, direct revelation from you, preserved for us perfectly as we need it to be. Thank you for caring for us, leaving us revelation of yourself and instruction for living in Jesus Christ that we desperately need. We pray, Lord, that you would, in our worship, speak to us through your Bible, that your Spirit would illumine your word, and that our hearts would be softened to receive what you have for us, that we might change and become more and more like Jesus, so that he is glorified in us and us in him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. We're going to prepare our hearts and our minds for taking the Lord's Supper. We will have a small cracker, a little bit of juice, and those will serve as remembrances for us that Jesus had a body and he died at the cross to bear away our guilt and shame, to absorb fully and completely the wrath of God in our place. We will remember his blood as we drink the juice, remembering that it took the price of Jesus' blood, the currency of Jesus' blood, to atone for our sins, to make forgiveness possible. And I want to use Psalm 32 to draw us into that. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, David says, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Those words did not come easy for David. Those words came after about a year of actually hidden, gross sin. And it is just now at this point, at the beginning, that he is able to talk about being a blessed man. How can he say this? He says it because he knows the forgiveness of God. The word blessed there is actually a pretty intensified word. It means abundantly happy. It means abundantly joyful. It means to be exuberant. It's overflowing happiness, overflowing blessedness. What caused that intense happiness for David? It was knowing that God had forgiven his sin. Listen, believer in Jesus Christ, you have abundant happiness. You have abundant, overflowing joyfulness. You have exuberant happiness because your transgressions have been forgiven. Your sin is covered, and the Lord has not counted your iniquity against you. Believer in Jesus, this morning, this is your greatest happiness, your richest blessing. David uses three words for sin: transgression first. That's a breach in relationship with God. It's a revolt against God. It's willful departure from God. It's treason committed against God. And that's what every sin is. It's that serious. He uses the word sin also in verse 1. That's the classic understanding of sin, to miss the mark. It's an archery term. And it's not the idea that we were trying really hard to aim at the target, which is God, and we did our best, and we tried, and we just missed. It's not that at all. It's the fact that God has set up himself to be aimed at over here. We turned our backs on him, and we propped up anything and everything else, and we aim at everything else, and in that sense, we miss God. That's sin. Every sin is that way. He uses the word iniquity in verse 2. That means crooked, perverted, crooked thinking, crooked attitude, crooked deeds and desires, perversion everywhere. And the point of these three words for sin is to not identify three particular sins that David had committed. Rather, the point is to show no matter the kind of sin, no matter the shape of sin, no matter the shade of sin, no matter the degree of sin, it is forgiven for the believer. Forgiven. He then uses three expressions of God's dealing with sin for the believer. He talks about it, transgression being forgiven first. That means that the transgression has been taken up and carried away from the believer. And more importantly, from God's sight and his memory. This is something that only God can do. You cannot take up your transgression and remove it from your sight or from God's sight. This is God's act alone of removing sin and guilt and even his own remembrance of our sin. And this comes through the death of Jesus at the cross. Transgression and sin and our own perversion is placed upon him as believers. He suffered the wrath of God for us in our place. We do not have to suffer it. We are forgiven. David uses the word covered. Our sin is covered. That means sin is atoned for. That means God is satisfied that all of the demands for forgiveness have been met. All of the demands for forgiveness have been met. He will not bring it up again because our sin is covered. And this is because of Jesus' death on our behalf. And then the statement, he does not impute iniquity to us. God does not count guilt against the believer because Jesus was counted guilty in our place. What is the cause of your greatest happiness, believer? What's the cause of your greatest happiness? It is knowing intimately that God, the very one that you sinned against, him, that one, he has personally taken up and carried away your sin in such a way that he will no longer remember it. And he did it through the cost of his own son. What is the cause of your greatest happiness, believer? It's knowing intimately that God, again, the offended party, whoever does this, the offended party has covered your sin with his own son's blood, never to bring it up again. What is the cause of your greatest happiness, believer? It's knowing intimately that God, the offended party, has not kept an account of your sin, charging you with guilt. He doesn't do that because he charged his son with your guilt. Here's your happiness. Here's our happiness as believers in Jesus Christ. David actually tied one more important statement to his own happiness. Verse 2, he says, "How blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no deceit." This is actually an expression of David's repentance. Because for the last year of his life, he has been hiding sin. He's been deceiving others about his sin. He lied about his sin with Bathsheba. You can see the effects upon him in verses 3 and 4. He says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer." But now David, in his repentance, is done with deception. And he's a happy man. This did not come easy. A piece of bread, as I said, or cracker and a cup of juice are God's reminders for us of Jesus' body and his blood. His body was crushed under the wrath of God. His blood was shed to secure forgiveness of sin. For whom did God secure forgiveness of sin? For every sinner who will agree with God that he or she is indeed a treasonous transgressor. A sinner with crookedness everywhere within in God's sight. For whom did God secure forgiveness of sin? For every single sinner who will trust in Jesus Christ alone for this forgiveness of sin. If you are this morning one of those believers in Jesus Christ, you know this overflowing joy and happiness and blessedness. So eat and drink today in that happiness. If you would say, though, that you are not trusting in Jesus for this forgiveness of sin, then simply just let the bread and the cup pass you by when it comes down the aisle. You see, your first and your most important priority is not to participate in something that God has designed for believers to share in, believers who love and trust his son. Rather, your first and your most important priority is to hear more of this gospel, to understand this gospel, and to turn away from your sin and entrust your life to Jesus Christ alone to be right with God and to have this forgiveness. Please talk to me or anybody else sitting around you today so you can hear more of that. When you get the bread and the cup this morning, you can take it on your own. When you have pondered a little bit more on your own, the deep and abiding joy that God has secured for us through his son Jesus. Men, will you please come and serve us?